everyone. Pastor Lyle Phillips here from Legacy Nashville Church. We are so honored that you would join us today for the message on our podcast. We pray that these sermons would bless, encourage, and equip you for all that God has called you to do. Let's get into it.
Amen, amen. Merry Christmas, everybody. Y'all supposed to say it back. Merry Christmas, everybody. Are you guys excited for the season or what? You got your shopping done? Kinda. A little bit. Well, you better hurry up because Nashville gets crazy around Christmas time. I went to the mall the other day and about had a panic attack at Green Hills. It was just filled with people, but that's the new Nashville, y'all. So you better get ready for it. If you're new to the city, it gets crazy. Just wait until January hits and it snows like a quarter of an inch. And all y'all transplants from LA can't drive in it, don't know what to do, and the whole city shuts down for 3 days, and we all got to stock up on milk and bread like we're going through a hurricane or something. It's the craziest thing. Or if you're from Miami, you know, it's kind of the same. But it is good to celebrate special seasons together with your spiritual community. Amen? We want to do everything we can to make special seasons special. And if you're a parent in the room, I want to encourage you to do everything you can to make this special season special for your kids. My kids are not here today, and they might be watching online, so I'm not going to say what we're going to do to make this special season special, but I can tell you it is going to be the most special one that we've done to date. And that's what we try to do every year as parents. I'd encourage you guys to do the same. And that's also what we try to do every year as a church. And one of the things that Allison and I have also endeavored to do, and I know you guys just heard Franklin share a little bit about what we're doing through our generosity, is that we want to give more every year during the big give as a family. So whatever we gave last year, we want to give more the next year. And this year, it hurt. It's like, what? Lord, no. Okay. So I'd encourage you to do that as well. If you've never tried that, one of my pastors used to say, it's not a seed until it hurts. And Christmas is an opportunity to sow good seeds with an expectation that the new year will bring new harvest. And that's what I'm expecting for our church community. So while we're in this season of Christmas and making special things special, we've decided to keep with the tradition that we've established here at Legacy Nashville, that we would open up a very old book called the Book of Common Prayer and the Sunday Lectionary. If you've never heard of that book, you didn't grow up Anglican for sure, because this is more of a traditional Orthodox book that maps out the seasons of the year in threes, year A, B, and C. And we don't observe it throughout all 52 Sundays of the year, but we do observe it just for Christmas, because we think it's really cool to embrace some tradition and read the exact same passage of Scripture as millions of other Christians all over the world and in different nations on the exact same Sunday. Y'all think that's cool? I think that's cool. You know, I think sometimes as charismatic people, Pentecostals, Spirit-filled, Bible-based churches, sometimes we say, no, we rebel against tradition. But tradition is not sinful. Sometimes what's old is gold. You know, God doesn't really have a problem with tradition. What he has a problem with is our traditions getting in the way of our obedience. Tradition is a good thing. We just obey God while we steward tradition. And so we're getting the opportunity this month to steward some traditions. And so we've been reading from the gospel reading out of the Sunday lectionary. And last week brought us to Luke chapter 3. This week takes us back to Luke chapter 3. So if you have your Bible and you'd like to open it up with me to Luke chapter 3, we're going to continue in our sermon series on Advent in the Gospel of Luke as we read a passage of Scripture that comes to us from a sermon from John the Baptist. So we met John the Baptist last week. Remember, that's Jesus's cousin that was fulfilling messianic prophecy spoken out by the prophet Isaiah more than 800 years prior. And now we get to see what he says as a fulfillment of that prophecy, what he actually preaches. All right, so we're going to go to Luke chapter 3. Find it in your Bible there. We're going to go to verse 7, and we're going to read all the way to verse 18. Now, I want to give you some context while we're reading through this. So I was tempted not to have you stand, but then I just did that spiel on traditions. And you know it's our tradition around here to stand for the reading of the Word of God. So if you don't mind, stand up for the reading of the Word. Luke chapter 3 is where we're going, verse 7 through 18. Is that okay with you?
Yes, sir.
Is it a lot of scripture? Is it too much? All right, verse 7 through 18. Are you ready? He said, therefore, to the crowds. So this is everybody. This is the good guys. This is the bad guys. And this is those who are indifferent. He's talking to everybody. He says to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers. Yo, John, that's a little harsh, don't you think, bro? Now, if you remember back to the sermon last Sunday, John was an evangelist. John went out and invited people. He compelled them to come out to the wilderness to be baptized in a baptism of repentance. They get out there having accepted the invitation, ready to be dunked in the Jordan, and he's like, yo, bunch of brood of vipers. Listen, this is the thing about prophets, man. Prophets don't tickle ears. They don't say the things that you want to hear. But prophets say the things that you need to hear. And this is the thing about prophetic preaching. Prophetic preaching puts off. Because prophetic preaching separates. And that's what happens when it's harvest time. Harvest time is separation time. And so what John is doing, he's just separating, you'll see this in a moment, the wheat from the chaff. You brood of vipers. Yo, I'm offended, I'm out. Oh, if you couldn't hear that, you're not ready for the Advent. You're not ready for what's coming next. See, I said that on purpose because I wanted to see who had ears to hear. See, that's prophetic preaching right there. My call as a preacher most days is I'm called to comfort the afflicted. But every now and then, get some of that John the Baptist going and I afflict the comfortable. And that's the job of a prophet. He says, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Verse 8, bear fruits. Somebody say produce.
Produce.
Bear fruits. How am I going to do that, John? In keeping with. That's what you do. Here's what you do not do, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. John knows what he's talking about. He's read the book. He knows that the Creator created human beings from dirt before. Of course he can create again. He can create human beings from bricks. That ain't no problem for God. You know why? Because God is a producer. Bear fruit. Everybody say produce.
Produce.
He said, don't say to yourself, blase, blase. This, that, and the third. Because God can create with what he's got. He is a producer. Everybody say, he produces. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. That's a wild illustration, isn't it? What do you see when you hear that being said? A lot of times we think of it as a woodsman that is sharpening the axe, preparing to chop down the tree. But no, he says the axe is at the root of the tree. This tree's already been chopped on, man. This thing is at the root. It's just barely hanging together by a thread. Somebody better holler, timber. It's a Pitbull lyric. You see, you got to catch some urgency. When we say Jesus is coming back, we say it with urgency. The axe is already at the root of the tree, man. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good. What's he saying? If you don't produce, be cut down and thrown into the what?
Fire.
This is a promise. And the crowds, everybody, they said, well, what then shall we do? And he answered them, well, whoever has two tunics, whoever has two pairs of Jordans, is to share with him who has none. And whoever has food is to do likewise. Now, one of the subcategories, the group spoke up, the tax collectors. This was a vile occupation. They said, okay, well, we're here to be baptized. Teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. And the soldiers, an equally vile occupation, said, well, what about us? He said, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, but be content. Turn to your neighbor and say, be content. Well, as the people were in expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered. You see, you can't get nothing by a prophet. They were all questioning in their hearts. John the Baptist said, I know what you're thinking. See, this is why you don't look prophets in the eye. No, I'm not him. I'm not the Messiah, by the way, because who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose shoestrings I'm not worthy to untie. Humanity is not worthy to untie the shoestrings of God. And yet later we'll see Jesus, who is God, untying the shoestrings of humanity and washing our smelly feet. This is the one who's on his way, the one that's going to advent, the one that's mightier than the greatest prophet of the old covenant. And when he shows up, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, if you're Pentecostal, you love this. Woo! Woo! You just got a chill up and down your spine. Wow! Show! Fire! Two times he says, bear fruit. Two times he says, fire's coming. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable
fire.
There's that word again. Now, John has already illustrated Jesus, the Messiah, as a woodsman. And then now he brings us another illustration, which is God as a farmer. And he said, God's got a winnowing fork in his hand. Y'all know what that is? It's one of those rakes that you see that photo of that guy standing next to his wife in front of their house with the white picket fence. It's like the little, it's kind of like a trident, but it's got an extra one. Kind of like a pitchfork, I guess. You'd think I know this stuff, but I don't. And so So what he does is he gets the wheat and he throws it up in the air, and then the wind carries the chaff out, and then the wheat falls down because he gathers the wheat because that's feed for the livestock, and he puts that in the storehouse. But all the chaff that the wind blows away, he sweeps it together and it goes into the... When we say Advent is coming, Jesus is coming, you know what else we're saying? Fire is coming. Verse 18, so with many other exhortations, he preached the what? See, y'all thought prophets would just call people out and refer to them as vipers, but no, John the Baptist said with many other exhortations, see, he had other sermons. It's possible if God has called you to be a prophet, you could be kind. Uh-oh. See, people are like, I want to be a prophet. I want to rebuke people. Well, there are many other exhortations that you're going to have to give. And ultimately, you need to be able to preach the good news. Verse 8, bear fruits. Verse 9, bear fruits. That's really what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about producing. I believe that God is highlighting our productivity today in preparation for another year. So here's the title of my message. It's kind of a play on words. It is produce. Everybody say produce.
Produce.
Produce. Y'all see what I did there?
Yeah.
That's the title. Sit down. Produce. Y'all caught it, right? Fruit at a grocery store is called what? If I make a movie, I am a? It's weird how many words that are the exact same in English, huh? Produce, produce, bear fruit. That's what God expects of you as his disciple. In fact, another word for disciple is producer. Because you are called to be a producer. When you look at these verses of scripture in the passage that we just read, where John says you got to bear fruit, that word there is poiemo. It is a Greek word that means to produce. Everybody say produce. It also means to do. It also means to make. It also means to create. So God says, I expect you to produce. I expect you to do something as my disciples. I expect you to create something as my disciple. I expect you to produce. God expects each and every one of us to be a producer. I sense that the Holy Spirit is coming for our productivity today. When Jesus advents, he expects to find us producing. And this is why John, preparing the way for the Lord, says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Now, this command, if you'll consider, echoes the very first command that God gave to human beings in Genesis chapter 1. Check this out. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful. Somebody say produce. And multiply. Somebody say produce. This is the very first command that God Almighty gives to our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the Holy Scriptures. He says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be a producer. As your creator, I have created you to create. I don't know who needs to hear that already, but your creator has created you to create. You can no longer complain that you are not creative or that you have no creativity when God lives on the inside of you. You are creative. You are called to create. You are called to do. You are called to make. You are called to serve. You are called to produce. Produce. Now, a lot of times when I prepare sermons, I hear this inner dialogue of people in the room. And I wish I could do like a funny voice, but I'm not very good at those, but it sounds like this, no, 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 pastor, not me. I'm a human being, Pastor, not a human doing. Pastor, no, I don't have to do anything. I'm just loved by Daddy God. I'm not called to do, Pastor. I'm called to be. Just be. You know, that is a mindset that is more reflective of today's culture than it is the Bible. Because today's culture is not religious. Today's culture is therapeutic. Let me read you a scripture from a book called The Culture of Narcissism. It came out in 1979. The contemporary climate is therapeutic, not religious. People today hunger not for personal salvation, but for the feeling. I just feel, Pastor. So the world revolves around your feelings. Wow, it got quiet. But for the feeling of personal well-being and psychic security. Ooh. This is the way that we have been affected by the shack and like books like that. God, I'm not trying to call anybody out, but I think at times we kind of think this is what it means to be in a relationship with Jesus as a discipler. I am going to gracefully fall into a Thomas Kinkade painting. And I feel good. Well, good luck with that, following Jesus, because that is an attribute of our therapeutic, narcissistic, the world revolves around me culture. That's not Bible culture. That ain't Bible culture. You're not gonna find that in the lifestyle of anybody who wrote the book that you confess to adhere to. You're not gonna see that. Now listen, I'm not attacking you for being, all right? I want you to abide in the vine. After all, that's what Jesus told us to do in John chapter 15. He said, the branch cannot bear fruit. You ain't gonna be able to produce by yourself in your own strength. That's not possible unless you abide in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. And that is true. Of course it's true. You're never gonna be productive without simply being in Christ. Yes, you are a human being, not a human doing. We need to be able to see ourselves as greater than our utility. That's true. But these two ideas are not at odds. We must do both, abide and produce. Abide and produce. Abide and produce, because mature disciples produce. Immature disciples only abide. Because that's what you do as a kid. I live at home. I don't produce anything. I'm just a recipient of what other people produce on my behalf. I'm not going to serve at church. Oh. But I am happy to become the beneficiary of all of the service that everybody else offers at church. Well, why don't you serve? It's part of your process of maturity. Not for me. I'm too big. Okay, I need to move off this, don't I? The truth is, if you abide, you will produce. And if you do not produce, then that should be for you a revelation that you may not be abiding as powerfully as you think you are. Low intimacy always is evidence. Low production is always evidence of low intimacy. Low production is always evidence of low intimacy. So you're really just telling on yourself. We were created to create. We were created to be productive. We were created to be producers. And this is why John says, produce fruit. Everybody, listen to what I'm saying. I don't care what your career is. I don't care what your occupation is. You could be a disciple. You could be a follower. You could be religious. You might be a stinking tax collector. Produce. Everybody is supposed to produce. Now I hear that voice in my head again. No, Pastor. Not me. I'm not called to perform. It's not about performance. That's a great song. I'm not making fun of the song. I love that song. But we quote that in an effort to excuse our apathy. I'm not called to perform. My relationship with God is not about my performance, Pastor. You're right, it's not. God doesn't expect you to perform, but God does expect you to produce. God never asks us to perform for a relationship with Him, but God does expect us to produce from our relationship with Him. Connection to God is what leads to fruit, not performance for God. We don't work for God to connect with God. We work because we're connected to God. God expects His disciples to be productive. And when He advents again, will He find you being productive? Will He find you, make it personal, will He find you producing any good fruit? Because a discipler is a producer. Okay, Pastor. Y'all getting tired of this voice yet? It's the best one I got today. Well, that's me. I'm a producer. I'm productive for the kingdom of God. Look at my relationship with Jesus. Ho! La 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 la, shanda. You obviously don't follow me on Instagram, Pastor. I'm so close to Jesus. I post all my heavy revies on my stories in the morning. Very close with Jesus. I prophesy. I'm anointed. People ask me to lead worship. I'm anointed. Look at what I do for Jesus, Pastor. I produce. Well, here's what's crazy about this passage is that whenever John the Baptist starts to tell the crowds what producing fruit looks like, he never refers to their relationship with God. He only refers to their relationship with other people. Oh, you guys are productive? Awesome. Prove it. Oh, you're bearing fruit? Prove it. Oh, you've repented before? Prove it. And they're like, well, look at my relationship with God. No, 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 no. I'm not examining your relationship with God when I'm asking to see the spiritual fruit that you're producing. I'm actually looking at your relationships with other human beings. Because if you're abiding in the vine in the way that you testify to, it will show up in how you handle other people. I've repented. Prove it. I'm fruitful. Prove it. Well, I can prove it. Ask somebody who follows me on socials. No, I'm going to ask your wife. Should I mind my business? No, I'm going to ask your kids because your kids ain't going to tell me a lie. I'm telling you, they really know you. Hey, is your daddy a Christian? Yeah, he's a Christian. He goes to church. Yeah, he goes to church. How's he talk to mom? Oh, he cusses mom. Oh, nobody wants to say amen. Everybody's like, okay, yep, let's move on. Yeah. What if I interview your colleagues? What if I talk to your boss? What if I talk to your employees? How do you treat other people? Would they say that you are a producer, or would they say something else? Because whenever John begins to illustrate what being productive in the kingdom of God looks like, here's what he says. He gives four things. First thing is, he says, it's generosity towards other people. It's generosity towards other people. Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. Are you generous towards people? Do you give out of your excess? I'm not talking about tithe. I'm talking about blessing people. I'm not talking about giving offerings to church. I'm talking about blessing people. I'm talking about seeing somebody and saying, I have a heart of generosity because, here's the second one, I have compassion towards other people. Whoever has food is to do likewise. I got compassion, that guy he doesn't have. I want to help. Doesn't matter who sees, doesn't matter who takes note, doesn't matter if you get a tax deductible donation receipt. I have compassion. Here's the third thing he says. Integrity towards other people. Collect no more than you are authorized to do. Integrity towards other people. Do you lie to them? Do you gossip about them? Do you flatter them? Oh, yeah. You're doing awesome. And then we do that southern thing as soon as they leave the room. Bless their heart. We got to pray for them because they're an idiot. Now you have integrity towards others. Here's the fourth thing. He said you got to do justice towards other people. Don't extort money from anyone by threats or by lying, by false accusation. John says, you've repented, prove it. You are called to be a producer as you follow God. And the proof of your production shows up in how you handle people and how you do business. Oh, we live in a city. Let me tell you, we live in a city where we have the Christian music industry. And if anybody needs to hear this message, I'm quite sure it is them. We're a fruitful label. We're a fruitful industry. There's a big difference in the church culture and the church. We got to have integrity towards other people. We got to do them right. This is our best deal. No, it's not, and you know it's not. You'd pay them three times as much as you're willing. It's our best deal. I do justice towards other people. I'm not cheating. I'm not lying on my invoice. Come on, who has their own business in here? Yeah, oh yeah, it's okay. I didn't paint that room, but I'm gonna go ahead and charge them for another 10 gallons. It's getting real, isn't it? I'm sorry. But it's time that we are producing good fruit. Not just any kind of fruit, but good fruit. Y'all with me?
Yes.
Silas, did you like that part about the music industry? He's a part of it, so he helps us make this happen. Never once does John gauge our connection to God by how passionately we worship God, but by how faithfully we restore community and do justice to other people. He says God wants productivity from you, but he wants productivity in places more than your Google calendar. He wants productivity in your money. He wants productivity in your relationships. He wants to see you producing good fruit. If you're fruitful, then I want you to prove it. And here's the thing, John says, and you know what's not proof of your fruit? Your religious affiliations. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Oh, I'm fruitful. You are? Prove it. Well, you see my church? My church is fruitful. Just because you go to a fruitful church does not make you a fruitful disciple. Just because you're married to a fruitful woman doesn't mean that you're fruitful. Just because you're married to a fruitful man doesn't mean you're fruitful. Just because your granddaddy was fruitful doesn't mean you're fruitful. Just because your uncle is a pastor doesn't automatically make you fruitful, because you cannot be fruitful by affiliation. Y'all watch those TV commercials with Gronkowski? Y'all know who I'm talking about, Gronk. USAA. Get you some insurance, man. You know who I'm talking about? It's football season. They're everywhere. He says, if your granddad served, and if your dad served, then you are eligible to receive the benefits of their service. And see, that's the thing about spiritual fruit. My kids can become beneficiaries. They can receive the rewards of my fruitfulness, but just because I'm fruitful doesn't make them fruitful, in the same way that if my granddaddy served in Vietnam, I am not automatically a veteran. I can receive the blessings of all of the fruit that they have acquired and produce, but that does not make me productive myself. We must raise our children to be more than dependents. We must raise our children to be producers, because they're not going to be able to eat at your table for the rest of their life. They're not going to be able to simply eat from the leftovers of your spiritual intimacy with God forever. At some point, they're going to experience fire. At some point, they're going to go through a storm. At some point, they're going to know chaos. And you ain't going to be around to put that silver spoon in their mouth. At some point, you're going to have to teach them how to produce so that they can stand up and testify and say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. In fact, look at all this fruit. He sets a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's the time when you get in touch with the fruit that you've actually produced and the fruit that you've claimed to produce. Because when you get out somewhere by yourself, you can't eat off of granddaddy's fruit. You can't eat off of your wife's fruit, who's been praying in the prayer closet for the last 5 years for you to grow closer to Jesus, and you're justifying your apathy just because you go to church with her. Like, you have to come to a place of saying, I am a producer. I ain't gonna be fed by other people's fruit anymore. And I don't know why, but I feel like I need to say this to the men of God, because the men of God in our nation need to stand up. For so long, we've just been, you know, kind of following our wives into the church. Your wife is not supposed to be your feeder. You're supposed to feed yourself. Is this okay for an 11 a.m.? Your religious affiliations prove nothing. Well, I go to a church that's on fire. That doesn't mean that you're fruitful. You can't be fruitful by affiliation. You also don't get to be fruitful by assumptions. And that's what, you know, that's what, you know, he was saying, like, do not say to yourselves, doesn't that sound like an assumption? Well, I assume that I'm okay because, you know, I am a child of Abraham, I'm a Jew, or I assume that I'm fine because I'm a Christian. I assume that I'm fine because I tithe. I assume that I'm fine because I serve. I assume, why are we assuming fruit? He said, point to the fruit. Here's the fruit, I'm gonna show you the fruit. Look at that person right there. That's fruit. Look at that person right there. That's fruit. Look at that relationship right there. That's fruit. Look at that devotion right there. That's fruit. That's what John the Baptist said. He said, nobody is entitled to fruit on the basis of relationship alone. No, you're not entitled to fruit because you're in proximity to Jesus. You are expected to produce fruit because of your relationship with Jesus. Excuses will never lead to fruitfulness. You can't be apathetic for God. And then when you go through something, not have what you need and play the victim. You got to produce. I don't know who I'm talking to, but 2025 for you is going to be a year of production. I don't know who I'm prophesying over, but I'm declaring this is going to be a year of production. This is going to be a year where you let go of the excuses. This is going to be a year where you stop saying, oh, I'm okay because, you know, I'm a CEO Christian, Christmas and Easter only. This is going to be one of those years where you're like, I'm producing, and I'm going to show you my fruit. Look at my people. God expects it. He expects production. Maybe you've heard this before, maybe you haven't, but I use it in leadership talks. Whatever you expect, you must inspect. If I tell my team one time, they're amazing, of course, but like hey, I expect this, but I never, ever, ever, ever follow up. I never inspect it. Maybe they forget. Maybe it falls off the to-do list. That never happens, obviously, with Pastor Brian, but, you know, in other churches, on other church staffs, I'm sure that does happen from time to time. Not here, but, like, if you don't inspect what you expect, you can't blame people for not doing the thing that you mentioned in passing. Like, you have to say, hey, I have this expectation, so I'm gonna inspect to ensure it happens. I want it to happen, so I'm gonna inspect. And see, that's the thing that Jesus does. Jesus is actually a fruit inspector. I know we talked about him as a woodsman. I know we talked about him as a farmer. But church, I'm gonna tell you, Jesus is a fruit inspector. And he's scanning, he's looking around. Who's producing fruit? Because John said, every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is gonna be cut down and thrown into the fire. Jesus actually repeats this later in Matthew chapter 7 when he says in verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Here's the thing, no fruit is a failure. No fruit is a failure. Matthew chapter 21. Jesus was hungry and he was heading to the city, and seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he decided that he would inspect. And he found what? Nothing on it but only leaves. See, we think that we're good with just leaves, but Jesus wasn't looking for a big shade tree. He was looking for a fruitful tree. I'm big, I cover a lot of space, big man on campus. No, he said, I'm not looking for a shade tree, I'm looking for a fruit tree. And it says he found nothing but only leaves, and he said, may no fruit ever come from you again, and the fig tree withered at once. Y'all see how Jesus handles the unproductive? Oh, you're not producing? I'm gonna prune you back. No fruit is a failure. No fruit is a failure. I really think, because John said, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. The winnowing fork is in it. Look, I feel the urgency of God sharing with you this sermon. No fruit. I know I'm saying it in a way that, like, doesn't give a lot of gray area, but John called people vipers. Like, I'm telling you, no fruit is a failure. We got to be producers. Check out this story in Luke chapter 13. He told a parable. A man had a fig tree he planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit, and he didn't find any. God is a fruit inspector. So he went over to the vine dresser. He said, look, for 3 years now, I've been coming, seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I have found none. I came here in 2022. I came here in 2023. I came here in 2024. And I know you've been saying it. You've been saying you're going to be productive. You've been saying you're going to do something for the kingdom of God. You've been saying you're going to be fruitful. But I've come again at the end of 2024. It's Christmas time, and I've come to inspect the fruit. I don't see anything. Man, cut this thing down. I'm thankful that Jesus is also an intercessor. And he said, sir, let it alone this year also. I don't know who just heard that, but 2025. Leave it alone in 2025 as well, and let me dig around it. Let me unsettle them a little bit. Let me break them out of that cozy cottage of falsified security that culture has told them that they're okay in. Let me dig around it. Let me mess with them a little bit, and then let me get a shovel and let me put on some, let me put on some poo-poo. Some manure, then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down. Jesus is a fruit inspector. You know what Jesus is awesome at? He is awesome at pulling out potential. He's amazing. Todd and I were talking backstage about how that whenever he was studying wine for a season of his life, that the vine dresser would actually come through and they would cut good fruit so that they could produce grapefruit. Great fruit sometimes looks like cutting off what's good. And here's the thing about repentance. A lot of times when we think about repentance, we think repentance is just turning away from what's bad. And it is, but repentance is also turning away from what's good for God. Some of us have refused to let go of things that God said he wants because it's not a heaven or hell issue, but it's an intimacy issue. Sometimes repenting looks like turning away from what's bad. Sometimes repenting looks like turning away from what's good. Sometimes repenting looks like pruning what's good so the great can come forth. And this is what Jesus is so good at. He's so good at pulling out potential. This is what I want to be as a leader. I want to be able to acknowledge somebody in potential form, and I want to be able to pull out the potential in them. I want to pull them from that place of potential, and I want to pull them right into that place of being productive. What's sad is that in our culture right now, so many people will defend their lack of productivity and they'll say, but I've got potential. I know I haven't been productive yet, but I got potential. And what's amazing is that Jesus will pull out potential. But here's the thing, whenever you stay in potential form too long, pulling out potential won't look like digging around and adding manure. It'll look like uprooting and removing. It's okay to be in potential form to start, but you can't stay there. You've got to go to a place of production. I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody's coming out of potential form in 2025. You've been stuck in potential form for far too long. You've been in that form for 3 years. Now it's time to produce, says the Lord. But you know what it's going to take to produce? It's going to take a little unsettling. Let me dig around it. You know what it's going to take to produce? It's going to take a little manure. You know what that is? That's dirty work. That's consistency. That's endurance. That's perseverance. That's saying I'm going to get up and do it again even though I don't feel like it. Even though I want to binge watch Netflix right now, I feel the Spirit of God calling me into a place of prayer. Even though I want to feast, I know that God is calling me to fast. Let me do some dirty work. And that kind of garden, that kind of garden, that is a producer's garden. That's a productive garden. If you ever go to like a real farm, I'm not talking about an Instagram farm. I'm not talking about one of those cute farms that ain't really feeding nobody. It's just cute online. Like if you ever go to a real farm that's actually productive, you know what you're going to find out? Man, that thing is messy. That thing is unsettled. And that thing is stinky. But if you ever go to like a religious farm, it's pristine. It's perfect. It looks great. It has the form of productivity, but it denies the power thereof because you can't eat out of that garden. That garden is pristine, but you can't eat out of it. It's pristine, but it's unproductive. It looks great, but it's unproductive. See, that's what religion is. A disciple's farm, man, that thing is stinky. You know why? Because it's productive. It's had a little dirty work that's gone into it. And this is the goal of religion, is to get you to repent, but never bring you to a place of production. The goal of religion is to get you to clean all the weeds out of the garden, but never actually bring you to a place of production. And what John the Baptist is saying is like, look, I want you to repent, but the goal of the sermon is not that you would repent. The goal of the message is that you would bear fruit. I'm glad you repented, but let's move. It's time to produce. It's time to produce. It's time to produce. It's time to produce. I don't know who needs to speak that out over their life right now, but it's time to produce. I don't know who needs to speak that out over their career right now, but it's time to produce. I don't know who needs to speak that out over their calling right now, but it's time to produce. One more time. Well, Pastor, you know, I want to produce, so I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to a new church. I had to throw that in there. You would think that John the Baptist would have looked at the soldier and said, you know what you need to do? You need to quit the military. You would think that John the Baptist would have looked at the tax collectors, because preachers would preach sermons that there was no entry into heaven for Jewish tax collectors because they were that evil. You would think that John the Baptist would have said, you know what you need to do, tax collectors? You need to quit. You need to uproot yourself from that vineyard, and you need to go and do something that's more acceptable and religious and holy. I need to go to a new city. I need to get a new family. I need to get a new husband. I need to get a new wife. I need to get a new church. I need to get a new career. I need to move. I need to leave. I need to. And John said, no, just be productive where you're planted. You know, you see other people, oh, they're producing. It's smelly over there. I know you think the grass is greener on the other side, but there's manure on the other side of that fence. Just let them dig around you. Just let them throw on a little dirty work. Whenever fruit grows to a point where it's harvested, the fruit is in a state of maturity. Our problem is we want harvest, but no maturity. We want an outpouring of harvest, but we don't want to do what's required to become mature. But when you do finally get to that place where you gather up all that mature fruit, you know what it's called when you gather up all that produce? It's called a yield. Oh, there's a word in there. If you want to yield, you got to yield. All right, that didn't go over as well as I thought it would. I'm going to try this side. If you want to yield, you're going to have to yield. If you want a bumper crop, you're going to have to surrender. You're going to have to say, I want to yield, so I got to yield. Because it's one thing to be fruitless, and we know what happens to those branches. It's another thing to be fruitful but produce the wrong kind of fruit. Because here's the thing about bad fruit. It's treated the same as no fruit. This is what you produce out of works of the flesh. This is what you produce out of disobedience. This is what you produce out of a lack of obedience. And you say, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. You're just not doing the thing God told you to do. And you're producing, and I see you, and you're doing great. But that fruit ain't edible from God's perspective. And he said, all of that's going to go in the fire. And here's what I'm going to leave you with, is that whether you're fruitless or fruitful with the wrong kind of fruit, or you come to Jesus like this. I yield. I surrender. I repent. I give up. Whether you're fruitless or fruitful with the wrong kind of fruit, or you just come to Jesus like, I'm doing the right thing. Every one of those parties is going to have the same experience. You know what that experience is? Fire. He said, every tree that does not produce good fruit is going to be thrown into the fire. All of the chaff is going to be thrown into the fire. But you know who else is going to get thrown into the fire? They're not really getting thrown in. They just got to walk in. One way or the other, you're going into the fire. One way or the other, you're going in the fire. You know what the fire is there for? The fire is not to destroy. The fire is to purify. The fire is not to destroy. The fire is to purify. If you're getting pruned right now because you're examining your heart and you're inspecting your own fruitfulness and you're saying, you know what, I have not been as productive as God's called me to be this year. Throw it in the fire. It's best there. If you've done everything that God has told you to do this year, you're going to go into the fire too. And you know what? He's going to purify us all the same. Because at the end of the day, our God is a producer. And he that began a good work in you shall see it through to the very end. I don't know which one you are, and I don't know where you are in your production process, but I do know what the plan of God is for your life. And that's that you would be a producer, because that's who God's children are. We produce. Let's stand to our feet.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the Legacy Nashville podcast. If you'd like more information about our church, you can find us online at legacynashville.org or check us out on social media at Legacy Nashville. Thanks again for joining. God bless.